You know, this whole thing of the coronavirus, yeah, okay, it needs to be addressed. I mean in churches. But then a flip side to that is it's really sad that preachers have to deal with it. What I mean is, as Christians, you know, we should be far enough along in God that we don't need sermons to tell us what to do. We should know. And the whole thing about the fear, you know, I dealt with that on Wednesday night in the sermon that, you know, fear is worse than a plague, and it is. I mean, if you have, you know, 80 million people and they're all, you know, scared stiff, and only 2 million of them have a sickness, and out of the 2 million, 300 die, but yet that fear has infected all 80 million people. And I'm just picking those numbers just to pick some numbers. It's just sad the way that this is happening. If one thing good comes out of this, I sincerely hope that Christians everywhere finally see the power of fear in people. I mean that. Because God says in His Word, fear hath torment. What are we seeing? You know, I read stories about people in stores getting in fights. Fighting over toilet paper. You know, and the stores. You know, people are posting pictures of shelves that are empty of toilet paper and Kleenex and paper towels. All this stuff is gone. But yet, there's still food on the shelves in the stores. And I'm thinking, well, you know what? If you don't have the food, you don't need the toilet paper. Come on now. But think about it, though. Really, that is kind of weird. You'd think that if people are going to clear out the stores of the toilet paper, they'd clear the stores out of everything. But it's just plain weird. You know, there are videos of people stealing toilet paper out of the restrooms in stores and gas stations. Man, that's just weird. Weird. You know, kind of makes you wonder how people survived in Bible times. When they didn't have toilet paper. We're not going to get into what they did do, but, you know, anyway. I just find it interesting how that this is happening. And some people out there, they're probably going to say, based on what I've seen happen in the past, well, this is God. He's judging the people. Okay, judging them for what? Well, because they've been naughty. Well, you're telling me... Okay, no, let me tell you. God doesn't need any help to come up with sickness and disease. Okay? We live in a Genesis 3 fallen world. And cellular structure itself began corrupting in Genesis chapter 3, and it hasn't stopped. So God doesn't need any help when it comes to creating sickness and disease because it's out there, it's mutating, it's happening. And then some folks, I guess, you know, the conspiracy people, man, they're riding this horse all day long. Like what? Can you believe folks want to lay the blame on the president? This is weird. People are just plain nuts. And honestly, a lot of folks, I mean, I don't know, but the way they respond and the way they comment, I seriously wonder if they're all right in the head. Because there's a lot of stuff being said that I don't think a rational mind would say. There's just a lot of stuff out there, but God hasn't given us, or He's not the author of confusion. Not. I want to share some things with you. I want to read a couple of stories to you. Now, these are true. And these stories I have had to, I've had to leave out a massive amount of information from each one for the sake of time. So I'm taking a flat stone and skipping it across the surface of these stories. But you'll be getting enough information to, you're going to get the idea. And if you want more, it's out there. You can find it on the internet. I mean, the truth. Yeah. You know, it's weird. Every time that, you know, you deliver a truth, if you post a truth on the internet, somebody's going to post something in response that's contradictory. It's like they want to argue. So, you know what? People are weird. I mean, they really are. People are, it's like one fellow said, pastoring would be great if it weren't for people. There is some truth to that. Anyway, now, but here, though, we've got a good church. We really do. Anyway, I want to read these to you. John Alexander Dowie was born May 25th, 1847, in Edinburgh, Scotland. At age 6, he read the Bible completely through. Age 6. How many of us did that at age 6? Like, none. But from that point on, Bible reading became a regular part of his life. Around the age of 25, he had been enrolled in the University of Edinburgh, but he left and accepted the invitation to pastor the Congregational Church in Alma, Australia. Now, he'd been in Australia before. His parents had taken the family down there for a period of time. And, you know, I mean, he was hungry for the Lord. And anyway, so he knew about Australia. They knew about him. And there at age 25, he went down to begin pastoring the Congregational Church in Alma, Australia. Now, many of you may not be familiar with that term, Congregational Church, but that is a denomination. And it's still around today. Well, very shortly after he was there, it didn't take long, but he received a lot of persecution from within the church because his preaching was calling for repentance and a life that was committed to serving Jesus Christ. People didn't like that. So they rose up against him, and he ended up resigning. Well, a very short time later, he was asked to pastor the Congregational Church in Manly Beach. So he went, and at first everything was okay, but once again, the spiritual lethargy of the people, it created friction. And so he was there for a little bit longer, but eventually he left there. And in 1875, he accepted the pastorate of a church in Newton, which is a suburb of Sydney. And almost immediately, like within days after arriving there, this horrible plague began to sweep through the region. And people were dying at an incredible rate. It was just unbelievable how quickly people were dying. And within a few weeks after moving there and being the pastor of the church, he had officiated over 40 funerals. That's absolutely incredible. And so one day, he was in the church parsonage and he was praying. And while he was praying, he writes this testimony of what happened. He said, "Then the words of the Holy Ghost inspired in Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." He said, "Then the words of the Holy Ghost inspired in Acts 10:38 stood before me in all radiant with light, revealing Satan as the defiler and Christ as the healer. My tears were wiped away. My heart was strong. I saw the way of healing. I said, God, help me now to preach the word to all the dying world and tell them how 'tis Satan still defiles and Jesus still delivers, for he is just the same today. Minutes later, right after he prayed this, within moments, there was a knock on the door, and a couple of men from the church said, you need to go and pray for this young lady who is a member of the church because she was dying. Well, he got there to the house and went into the room where this lady was lying in the bed. And the doctor who, I don't know that the doctor was a part of the church, he may have been, but he definitely professed Jesus Christ as his Savior. Dowie walked into the room and the doctor looked at him and said, sir, are not God's ways mysterious? And Dowie defiantly stated, God's way? No, sir. That is the devil's word. And it is time we called on him who came to destroy the work of the devil. The doctor got offended and walked out. Well, Dowie prayed, and the lady was instantly healed. He left her room and went into another room there in the house and prayed for her sister and brother, and they were instantly healed. From that day on, not one member of his church died from the epidemic. Not one. In 1878, Dowie left the denomination he was a part of because there was too much conflict between the organization's rules and theology and the truth that he was preaching, especially the truth of healing. He started his own ministry, and when he did, people began flocking in like crazy. And the healings just kept happening over and over, not just from the plague, but everything. Whatever people came for, they were being healed over and over and over again. And his reputation began to spread, not just in Australia, but it began to spread throughout the world. In 1888, he arrived in San Francisco, and the people had heard that he was coming, and so folks from all over California began to show up where he was ministering, and all of them were instantly healed when he prayed for them. He ministered for a period of time throughout the United States and then settled down in Evanston, Illinois, which Evanston is a suburb of Chicago. Healings took place every time he ministered. Without exception, people were healed. He opened a church that he called Zion Tabernacle and began having services there. So many people were coming to the church to be healed that he opened several rooming houses there around the church that he called healing homes. And the sick folk would come and they would stay there in the healing homes in between services, and then he would minister to them in these homes, and people were being healed, right and left. Well, the newspapers, the medical profession, and faithless ministers began joining forces in an attempt to destroy his ministry. In 1895, he was arrested for practicing medicine without a license. The court found him guilty, but he surprised them because he appealed the decision. And it was a very costly court case. They didn't think he was going to use money to appeal it, but he did. And when it was appealed to a higher court, the guilty verdict was overturned. Well, that didn't stop the naysayers, because by the end of the year, he had been arrested 100 times. Yes. But the healings and the miracles just kept happening over and over and over again. And eventually, the criticism turned to favor, because they couldn't deny what was happening. He purchased a huge tract of land outside of Chicago, and he named it the City of Zion. Now, you can go on a map today and you can find Zion, Illinois. It's still there. And the healings continued and continued and continued. Now, it is true that in the latter years of his life, Dowie got off into some strange doctrine. Whether it was a demonic attack or dementia or a combination thereof, whatever. Yes, he did get into some strange doctrine, and because of that, some people that had been with him began to separate themselves because it was just wrong. However, the wrong doctrine, the last few years of his life, cannot in any way dismiss or nullify everything that happened the years prior. All those miracles happened. All those things took place. And it was because Dowie trusted God. I want to read to you another story about a man named John Graham Lake. He was born March 18, 1870, in Ontario, Canada. In 1891, he moved to the Chicago area. And over a period of time, Lake and his family members went to the healing homes of Dowie. Now, Lake's leg had been, it was distorted because of rheumatism. And he was young, but yet the rheumatism had, like, contorted his leg. Well, anyway, he went to one of the healing rooms, was prayed for, and his leg was instantly healed and made straight. Instantly. His brother, who had suffered from internal bleeding for 22 years, was healed totally and completely. The bleeding stopped, but then the medical condition causing the bleeding, he was completely healed of it. Totally and completely healed. His sister, who had breast cancer, was totally healed, and the breast that had been deformed was completely restored and made whole. Lake received a call from his mother one day that another sister was dying, and he needed to hurry home to see her one more time. Well, when he arrived at the house, his sister had already died. He telegraphed Dowie and said, "My sister has apparently died, but my spirit will not let her go. I believe if you will pray, God will heal her." And Dowie replied back to him, sent message and said, "Hold on to God. I am praying. She will live." Lake went back into the room where his dead sister lay, stood in the room, and began to forcefully and emphatically rebuke death. And she came back to life. In 1895, Lake's wife, Jenny, was diagnosed with tuberculosis and heart disease. On the morning of April 28, 1898, she was declared to be nearing death. They expected her to die at any time that day. Well, Lake made a decision that he was going to stand on Acts 10:38, what we just read a moment ago, and Luke 13:16. Now Luke 13:16 says, "And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" So standing on Acts 10:38 and Luke 13:16, he declared that his wife would be healed at 9:30 a.m. that morning. At 9:30, he knelt by her bed and prayed. And immediately, all the paralysis left her body. Her heartbeat instantly returned to normal. All of the congestion left her lungs. And her temperature returned to being what it was supposed to be, a normal temperature, 98.6. In 1908, Lake went to South Africa to minister. In 1910, a plague swept through the region and untold thousands of people died. Lake and his assistants went into houses to bring out the dead and bury them. But neither he nor any of his team contracted the disease. When doctors asked him for the secret of their protection, Lake replied, "Brother, it is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I believe that just as long as I keep my soul in contact with the living God so that His Spirit is flowing into my soul and body, that no germ will ever attach itself to me, for the Spirit of God will kill it." He then had a doctor take some of the foam from the lungs of a dead plague victim and put it under a microscope. The plague germs were living in large masses. Then Lake told him to spread the foam on his hands and announced that the germs would die. The doctor did so. Lake put his hands under the microscope, and the doctor watched as the germs died instantly. In 1914, Lake went to Spokane, Washington, and set up healing rooms in an old office building. It was estimated that over the time he was there ministering, that 100,000 or more healings took place. From 1950 to 1920, based on government statistics, Spokane was declared the healthiest city in the world. In May of 1920, he moved to Portland, Oregon, and started healing rooms, having the same success. 5 years later, he began opening healing rooms down the coast of California and eventually into Houston, Texas, having the same success everywhere he went. In 1931, he returned to Spokane. Now, one of the things that Lake wrote was this: "Tongues have been to me the making of my ministry. It is that peculiar communication with God that reveals to my soul the truth I utter to you day by day in the ministry." Now, we hear stories about Dowie and Lake, and there are other ministers that I could have read about, but we hear about Dowie and Lake, and we think, "Wow, boy, that, you know, thank God." And then one of the things, the thoughts, if you will, that comes across the minds of some people is, well, where is that today? Why are we not seeing that today? Well, number one, how do you know it's not happening somewhere in the world? I mean, there are over 8 billion people, and this is a big planet. How do we know it's not happening somewhere? But then let me ask this: how come it's not happening with us? And somebody might say, "Well, yes, but Pastor Jim, I'm not Dowie." Well, that's true, you're not Dowie. I'm not Lake. Well, that's true, you're not Lake. But what about all of Lake's assistants? None of them got sick. None of them. You know, in the Bible, we read about the 12 apostles, and their names are mentioned in Scripture. They went out and people got healed. But then we read about the 70, and there's no mention of their name. None. And yet they went out by what Jesus said and did what He told them, and people were healed. Devils were cast out. Now, when you read the documents of what Lake did over in Africa, some of the people who went with him over there, their names are mentioned, but not all of them. So then we have an example of the people who were named, but then the unnamed people. And the unnamed people were still protected. The unnamed people, they did not catch the plague. They didn't catch the disease. Now, the question for us is, where are we in all this? Where are we? You know, I would hope every single one of us in here is feeling a degree of conviction. And some people, again, you know, it's so easy to throw off and say, "But I'm not that person." Well, that's true, you're not. But didn't Jesus say something about these signs shall follow them that believe? Yeah, He did. Dowie made a decision when he was 6 years old to read the Bible through, and from that point on, the Bible was a part of his life. So then, is the Bible a part of our life? And somebody might say, "Well, yeah, but you know, when I was 6 years old, my parents didn't go to church." And all. Stop making excuses. Seriously. Stop. Stop making excuses. What about now? For each one of us, what about now? You know, I just bare my soul, as they say. The Lord dealt with me one time about all this, and He said, people deserve a whole lot more from you than what they're getting. He's talking about me when it comes to people being healed. They deserve. That was His word. They deserve. But you know what? I'll turn that around and I'll pass that word on to you. People out there need, they deserve more from us than what they're getting. Every single one of us. There are no excuses. We can't say, well, you know, God's got a special calling for Dahlia, for Lake. God had a special calling for them to maybe travel the world. That may have been a part of what He wanted them to do relative to their ministry. But guys, the whole thing of people being healed, that's not a special calling. That is, these signs shall follow them that believe. So yeah, I guess it's a special calling because it's relative to them that believe. Look over in Psalm 105. Psalm 105. We're going to take a look at several verses of Scripture, and as we do, we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on any of them. So, you know, we're going to move kind of rapidly here, but Psalm 105, now this is talking about when the Israelites came out of Egypt, God brought them out of bondage. Psalm 105, verse 37. He, God, brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. That means from babies to whoever was the oldest, there was not one feeble person. Not one. Are you seeing that? Not one. Not one. Say, well, God did that for the nation of Israel back then. Wait a minute, they weren't even born again. They were not even born again. Should we not be an example of being brought out? I mean, seriously. Look, let's just be honest here, okay? Too many of us fight sickness or discomfort far too much. Now, we do. It shouldn't be like that. We should be what we're reading in Scripture. Follow me? This should be us, me, okay? You, all of us, as believers, as Christians, anywhere on earth. Okay? We should be living in a greater victory than what we are. Look over Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. And here in Matthew chapter 8, in verse 14, and when Jesus was come into Peter's house, He saw His wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. And when even was come, they brought unto Him many that were possessed with devils, and He cast out the spirits with His word, and healed all that were sick. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Do you realize the fulfillment of that prophecy? It's still a living fulfillment today. This day, right now, 2,000 years later. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Matthew chapter 12, verse 15. But when Jesus knew it that there was going to be a negative situation, He withdrew Himself from thence, and great multitudes followed Him, and He healed them all. Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew chapter 15, look at verse 29. And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto Him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and He healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. And some people, I know this is true, some people say, but that was Jesus. All right? Then how do you excuse Alexander Dowie and John G. Lake? The same thing happened in their ministry. The same thing happened as they prayed for people who needed a manifested healing. How do you dismiss that? Well, then people want to say, well, oh, okay, wait a second. Okay, yeah, all right, well then, but that was Lake and that was Dowie. Okay, you know what? There is a list of other ministers things like this have happened to in their lives. How long are we going to keep saying, but that was somebody else? In other words, how long are we going to keep making those kind of excuses and saying, well, it can't be me? Because basically that's what we're saying. It's almost like we're saying that if God wanted those things to happen through me, they would be happening through me no matter what I do. There would be, God would just do it, and there's no accountability on me. He would just do it. That I don't need to be like Dowie and read the Bible. That I don't need to be like Jake, John G. Lake, and pray in the Spirit. That I don't need to do that, that God will just do it. Do you realize both Dowie and Lake are saying that they applied, if you will, the four pillars of spiritual growth? And they got results. Well, let's look at some more scripture. Okay, look over in Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus, when he had called unto him the 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now, don't be saying something like, well, yeah, but that was the 12 disciples. You mean 12 people that weren't born again, let alone filled the Holy Ghost? I mean, is that what you're telling me? That God showed special favor to lost people than he would to us, his own children? Don't even try that one. And over in Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, verse 1, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them 2 and 2 before his face into every city and place whether he himself would come. Verse 9, he told them to heal the sick that are therein and say unto them, the kingdom of God is nigh unto you. Verse 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. In other words, yeah, we did everything you said, but then on top of getting everybody healed and declaring the kingdom, devils were subject unto us in your name. Well, yeah, but Brother Martin, that was the 70. When does it end? When does it end? Look over in look in Psalm 23. Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I mean, if you listen to the news reports, basically what they're telling you is that right now, anywhere on planet Earth, you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. If that weren't true, why quarantine? Why tell people they can't travel? If you're not walking through the valley of the shadow of death, why say these things? They just put it in different words. Look over in Isaiah 41. You know, David said, I may be walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but you know what? You're going to be there and you're going to protect me. In Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. We've been born again, right? We've been made the righteousness of God. Do we not qualify for this? Absolutely we do. Look in Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. And as we read through this, I'm going to be giving you not the Hebrew words, but the definitions of Hebrew words. God says, for I know the thoughts, imaginations, intentions, purposes, and plans that I think, devise, and create toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts, imaginations, intentions, purposes, and plans of peace, and not of evil, pain inflicting, unhappiness causing, bad, inferior quality, wicked, mischievous, malignant, noxious, injurious, or hurtful, to give you an expected end. See that? Do you see that? So anybody who says, well, God is going to put this on you to teach you something, they do not know the Word of God. They do not know Jesus Christ. They do not know what God has promised. Because God is saying right here, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, and the thoughts that I think toward you are not the thoughts that you think I think toward you. My thoughts are pleasing in my sight, says God. So if I'm thinking that God's involved doing this to people, then guess what? My thoughts and His thoughts are opposite, and we're not in agreement. And I am living in deception. I'm living in delusion. See, fear will keep you from doing what God wants you to do. These signs shall follow them that believe. Lay hands on the sick and recover. Oh, I might catch something. So you're not going to lay hands on them. Well, that's okay. Then just speak to them. Well, I don't need. Wait a minute. Before I do that, I need to put on my mask. Seriously? And see, somebody, I hear you. Well, you're just being foolish, Brother Martin. You're just telling people to take chances. You're just telling people to be, to throw caution to the wind. Is that what you're hearing? See, if that's what you're hearing, then I don't know where you are in your walk with God. What you ought to be hearing is this. We need to trust God and believe His Word. That's what you ought to be hearing. Look over in Psalm chapter 17. In Psalm chapter 17, take a look here at verse 4. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips have I kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Well, right now, what's going on in the world, we would call that virus a destroyer. I mean, obviously, it's been destroying a lot of lives. And he says, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Look over in Psalm 107. In Psalm 107, verse 20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Do you realize the word, we still have it? You understand that? We still have it. In Proverbs chapter 3, turn over there. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. My word. Hold on to it. It will add these things to your life. Another way to think of that is, absent from the Word, we don't have these things the way we may think. I'm living by God's promises. Well, if you don't even know what the promises are, how can you live by them? You can't. Look over in Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 20, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. You see this? The Word of God. This is the Word of God. Now, look over in Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Now, I'm all in favor of using, disinfectant to clean things down and hand sanitizer and hand washing. Okay, I am 100% in favor of that. Do you understand? But I also know this. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus will kill viruses. You hear me? What? How? You know why there's some of you in here right now, and people listening to this, you're not sure how to take this. You're sitting there and you're wondering, but the government says we're supposed to use caution. Amen. But we're supposed to, the kids are supposed to go to school, and this and that and the other. Well, what about the Word of God? Stay home. Work from home. Study from home. I'm not saying don't do that. What I am saying, though, is this. Okay, there was a song years ago that we used to sing, and everybody get all hyped up over it and stomp, clap, and run and shout. You know, whose report will you believe? We will believe the report of the Lord. Whose report will you... Okay, whose report are you going to believe? Listen, listen. You've got two reports. You got the world telling you everybody's about to drop over dead. And then you got God saying, but my word will add life to you and protect you from destruction. You've got two reports. It's not a denying of the report in the world. It is choosing which one you believe. Choosing which one you're going to accept. That's what it's about. It's not acting foolish out here and saying, well, there is no virus. There is no... Man, this is not a Christian Science church. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. Look it up. Or maybe don't. This is like a preacher I know sat down on a park bench with somebody one time, got to talking. Come to find out the person the preacher was talking to was a Christian Scientist. And he said... They got to talking about what they believe. And he looked at him and he said, you really don't believe that I'm here sitting next to you right now, do you? The man said, well, no, not really. And the preacher said, then why are you talking to me? True story. The Word of God. Are you seeing that? See, we're just getting a smidgen sampling of what the Word of God says. Now, you either accept it or you don't. You don't deny what's happening in the world, but you exalt what God has said over what's happening in the world. Look over in Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Now, you don't have to turn to this, but back over in Matthew 12 and other places, Jesus talked about how that, you know, you're going to know somebody by their fruit. You know, a tree by the fruit, and whatever comes out of a person's mouth, that tells you what kind of fruit they are. And he says there in Matthew chapter 12, you will be judged by the words that come out of your mouth. You're going to be judged by it. So here we see death and life are in the power of the tongue. Do you understand? If you watch the news reports, if you listen to the news reports, and if you read the news reports, do you realize what's going on? Man, they're speaking death all over the place. Sickness and destruction. They keep repeating it. They keep speaking it. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Yeah, well, life and death comes from hearing all that junk. Can you imagine what it would be like if government officials and news reporters were saying, okay, here's what's going on in the world, but folks, right now, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And what we're going to do is speak life to you right now. Can you imagine that? Folks, we've got to trust God. We've got to put our faith in God. The power of God's Word will bring healing. The power of God's Word. Could you imagine if that's what the dictate was? Can you imagine if that's what people were saying? But they're not. They're absolutely not. So, but who needs to be doing that? It's you and me. We need to be living this way. I mean, it just... It's really... See, okay, there are enough people who've been a part of this ministry, and you've heard me teaching now for 2 years or longer. You should not need to hear this message. You should be preaching it. Yes, sir. I'm serious. Yes, sir. There's not one of you in here that's been here at least 2 years, whether you've been here in person or you've been listening, you know, wherever you are, whatever. You've heard enough teaching. This should not be a challenge to you. Absolutely not. This should be, amen. Yep, that's right. I know that. And that's what I've been telling people. This shouldn't be something new. Do you remember when those times Jesus got frustrated with the disciples? You know, oh ye of little faith. Where is your faith? Why is that? Why did he say that? It's because over and over and over and over and over again, they had heard him deliver, and they had seen him work. They had seen what he could do. Then For example, they're in a boat. Water's splashing over the boat. Oh, we're going to die. We're going to die. And Jesus stands up, oh, ye of little faith, peace be still. And they were shocked. After everything he had done, they were shocked. Shocked. Who is this? Oh. He got frustrated with people at times. But the people he got frustrated with were the people who should have known better. Even though they weren't born again, even let alone filled with the Holy Ghost, based on what they had seen, they should have known. This guy can do it. And see, that's where we are today. Every one of us. Every single one of us. We should be at that place to where this is my teaching to other people. This is my encouragement to other people. Just like I said, we're not going to be rebellious. And if the government says, okay, no more assembling of anything, you know, no churches, no nothing, we'll obey that. Because we will honor our leaders. But the one thing, guys, that we can't do is live opposite of what we profess we believe. Yeah. Yeah. And that's going on in the body of Christ way too much. Look over in look in Exodus 23. Exodus 23. Take a look at verse 1. God says, thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Now somebody might say, well, that's way back there in Exodus. Yeah, but that truth is still for us today. That didn't pass away with the law. This is an instruction from God. He says, don't raise a false report. What's a false report? The moment you start exalting this virus over the power of God and the power of His Word, that's a false report. Now, I'm not saying, well, Pastor said we don't need to wash our hands. Pastor didn't say that. Pastor said we don't need to use hand sanitizer. Pastor didn't say that. Hey, you know what? Even though you may believe, I mean believe beyond believing that you believe that you don't need hand sanitizer to protect you, when it comes to your interaction with people, use it for their benefit, for their peace of mind, okay? Don't just stand there and start, I don't need this stuff, I'm trusting God. Those people think you're weird. You know, just don't scare people away. Do you remember what Jesus, when he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead, he's praying, he says, God, I'm only doing this for their benefit. Because I already know what's going to happen. Lazarus, come forth. But he stinketh. Lazarus, come forth. You follow me? Anyway, he says, don't raise a false report. Just don't do it. Don't raise a false report. But now look over in Proverbs chapter 15. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 30. The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. Now maybe you don't want your bones fat. But you ought to at least be giving this good report to yourself and to the people around you. You hear me? The news reports aren't going to tell folks to trust God. That needs to be coming from your lips. Some of you in here, you probably got family members that are just, they have been negatively impacted mentally by all this stuff. All right, we'll leave it like that. Keep it nice. You need to be the voice of reason to them. You need to be, instead of just saying, well, you know, I'm trusting God. No, you need to declare the Word of God to them. You need to tell them, well, this is what God says in Scripture. That's what they need to hear. Because if that's not what they're hearing, they're just hearing your opinion. They need to hear what God has said. All this whole message is recorded, so all these verses I've made reference to, you can use these. And just you get in a conversation with somebody and say, well, you know, God said in such and such, and then just tell them. Just tell them what God said. And if they want to argue about it, just say, well, look, I mean, that's just what God said. You know, that's not my opinion. I mean, that's what God said. That's what's in the Bible. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. Take them to the Word, guys. Take them to the Word. Look in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And look here in verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. See that? That's what our mind is supposed to be inundated with. This is how we're supposed to be thinking. This is not a denial of the bad stuff. It is an exaltation of the good that comes from God. That's what I'm going to think of. I'm telling you right now, when you follow these principles that I'm sharing with you from Scripture, you will never be afraid of any kind of sickness or disease. Now, you'll also use wisdom, and you won't be fooled. You know, just like when Jesus said, I was telling about how that in the Word it's recorded, the devil came to him and said, why don't you jump? Why don't you jump? You'll be all right. And Jesus, you know, he rebuked him because Satan took Scripture out of context. And Jesus knew that. Likewise, you know, you're not foolish about this. I'll prove to you that I'll never get sick. Like there was a preacher one time. True story, there's a preacher. It was pretty kind of muggy and warm during the day, and he gets up and he's preaching the night service and preaching. One of those really high-powered guys. Sweat, I mean, just soaked, you know. Well, during the service, the temperature had nosedived, and it had dropped down. It was a lot cooler. And somebody said, well, you know, Brother so-and-so, you might want to, you know, your jacket. He goes, no, I don't need that jacket. I'm a man of God. Walked outside. He contracted. It started out as a cold, turned to pneumonia. The guy died. So you got to use wisdom. There was a preacher one time. He was in a city. He was supposed to be preaching at a church. And he got caught up in his room praying and reading his Bible and lost track of time. He goes, oh, no, I got to hurry. So he walks out of his hotel room. In between where he was and his car was the hotel swimming pool. So he figured, yep. He took off, man. One step, kabooch. Don't be foolish. I mean, if there's a time comes that you need to walk on water, yeah, it can happen. But don't be foolish. Look in Philippians chapter 2. Verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's, you know, fear and trembling meaning honor and respect unto God. In other words, your faith can't live on the preaching of someone else. You can't live by the faith of another person. Dowie, Lake, and many others, they live by their own. And that's the way it can be for every single one of us. He said, verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. You see this? We are supposed to be the ones that are shining like lights in this world. We should be this brilliant spotlight in this world. We come in contact with somebody who's been diagnosed with whatever. Guys, we should be the ones who are ministering to them and seeing the healing. Now see, here's part of the problem. The Word of God, the more you get into the Word of God, the more you fellowship with God, the more that you're praying in the Spirit, I mean, all of these things, there's a confidence that begins to build up on the inside. It's called faith. And you no longer worry about what if it doesn't work. You're believing it will work. Just like the two men that I gave examples. Don't say, well, it can't, you know, I'm not them. You're not. You're not them. But you are born again. You're one of those, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And if you believe in my name, the works that I do, you shall do also. You can speak healing. Healing can manifest. So that's what Jesus did. Look over in Psalm 91. Now see, everything that I've shared with you today in the Word, you might be sitting here thinking, yeah, well, okay, I can't deny what I have read in the Bible. But I got to be honest with you, Pastor Jim. That's not where I'm at. Like, you know what? At one time, that's not where any of us were. We have to grow. And see, what I've shared with you today, it may not be where you are, but it's where you can be. All of us. It's where we can be. We're headed in that direction. But the key is this. We have got to be willing to completely restructure our lives. And me, you, those of you listening, watching, we have to be willing to restructure our lives. There's no way. I didn't even get into like Smith Wigglesworth today. There's no way, absolutely no way, I believe that John G. Lake, Alexander Dowie, or some of these others that I could mention, no way that I believe they would have been glued to their phone. No way. Now, I'm sure they probably would have used a phone relative to, like a cell phone, you know, for communication, whatever, but the way some folks are, no way. I don't believe that. I don't believe they'd have been glued to their television. They wouldn't have been addicted. And really, it's an addiction to all the stuff that goes on. No. They knew that if they did the other, the results would come. They believed that. In Psalm 91, now, what I want you to do is follow along in Psalm 91 while I read to you a confession of Psalm 91. Lord, I dwell in your secret place, for you are the Most High, and I abide under your shadow, for you are the Almighty. You are my refuge and my fortress, my God, and in you I trust. You deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. You cover me with your feathers, and under your wings I trust. Your truth is my shield and buckler. I am not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. Only with my eyes shall I behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because I have made you, Lord, my refuge, even you, the Most High, my habitation, there shall no evil befall me, neither shall any plague come near my dwelling. For you give your angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. They bear me up in their hands, lest I dash my foot against a stone. I will tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shall I trample under my feet. Because I have set my love upon you, Lord, you deliver me and set me on high, because I know your name. I call upon you and you answer me. You are with me in trouble. You deliver me and honor me. With long life will you satisfy me and show me your salvation. That's how you take Scripture and turn it into a confession. Now, what I just read to you, I made copies of this, and you can have it. And I'll be posting this as a PDF at the website right next to the MP3 download of this particular sermon. Now, guys, we can either live as the world and walk in fear and so on and so forth, or we can be the example, we can be the light in this world. It's totally up to us. But we have to do our part. We have to do what we know that we can do to see what God has promised become a manifest reality in our lives. We are called to continue the works of Jesus in this world. That is us. Praise God. Father, your word has gone forth and it will not return void. Father, I pray that this becomes like a conviction to me and to everybody else who's heard it. So that, Father, we'll make a decision to mortify the flesh, even when that flesh is not incorporating sin, but it's things that distract us away from you, that we will mortify the flesh. But Father, we'll realize that we have to come to the point where we're not the ones always looking to be healed for concerning sickness and disease. That we're not the ones that are always struggling with sickness and disease, but we're the ones that are living in victory because of what your word has promised to us. I thank you for that. Father, during this time and beyond, we absolutely must be your examples here in this world. So I thank you for that potential. I thank you that it is a living reality for us. And Father, may we be encouraged by this to live as Christ in the world. I thank you for it, and I thank you that by Jesus' stripes, we were healed. In Jesus' name, amen.